More than 94% of our law grads get jobs in the open market within 10 months of graduation. That's better than Harvard and Yale. Join the powerhouse. Now accepting applications at law.unh.edu. Investigations into whether war crimes are committed during the war in Afghanistan has been approved by the International Criminal Court. Professor Buzz Scherr joins me to discuss. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or hosts and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Buzz, to start off with, can you tell me what the International Criminal Court is and what it belongs to?
The International Criminal Court was an outgrowth of the Nuremberg trials after World War II, and it became clear that the international community wanted to develop a set of standards that included things that were a violation of international norms, that is beyond domestic prosecution. The problem in Nuremberg was what they were being prosecuted for those quote unquote crimes, international crimes, didn't exist when they were engaging in that behavior.
Yeah.
It was a post facto situation. And so they knew that was not going forward a good thing. So they wanted to create a court that prosecuted and litigated certain kinds of offenses to the international community. It took them over 50 years to create the International Criminal Court.
Wow.
The International Criminal Court didn't really, the Rome Statute really didn't go into effect until 2002. And it focused on genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes. So it's not a broad criminal, international criminals. It was a statute. It's a very relatively narrowly focused on those things that were almost universally agreed to be offenses to the international community, not just to a particular country.
It's part of the United Nations.
It grew out of the United Nations.
Okay. Kind of like parallel.
Yeah. And it's in The Hague in the Netherlands. Now, interestingly, the United States and you signed on to it. You joined. You became a member of it. The United States is not a member. Russia is not a member. That creates a set of issues.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what is it they can actually do, I guess?
Well, they could incarcerate somebody who's found guilty of a war crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've prosecuted people in special tribunals, relating to what happened in Kosovo and Serbia. In Rwanda, they can be prosecuted and jailed.
They have their own enforcement organization,
effectively,
I'm assuming.
Yeah. But it's a very laborious process. It takes forever to prosecute someone. Slobodan Milosevic, for example, he died while going through that process. Even though the U.S. is not a member, in the example we're talking about, war crimes in Afghanistan, they're investigating. They haven't charged anyone. They've now been authorized to investigate U.S. military, Afghani military, the Taliban, and associate groups. So it's a comprehensive look at the war crimes that have occurred or have been alleged to have occurred in Afghanistan. Afghanistan's a member of the ICC, the International Criminal Court, so they can investigate conduct by citizens of non-members that occurred in a member country.
Oh, okay.
So that's what's going on. One of the reasons the United States has not joined the ICC is it would mean that the ICC could decide that the death penalty in the United States, they could prosecute the relevant people they're not prosecuting a country, they're prosecuting individuals for that being a crime against humanity.
Interesting. So
or they could prosecute people, members of the CIA or the military, who have done things that they don't agree with. So that's the logic behind the logic behind our lack of membership in the ICC. The emotion behind it is, well, we don't want. We have our own laws. No international body is going to tell us what to do. And that's that has tended to be a very strong Republican talking point.
Oh, I bet.
Opposing the, they pair that frequently, although completely inaccurately, with the presence of Sharia law in some communities in the United States, which is completely ungrounded thing. But it's the fear. It's a variant of the xenophobia that you see periodically in the United States.
Now, what exactly are some of the crimes that they're looking at from the Afghanistan conflict?
My understanding is they're looking at deaths of civilians, behavior engaged in by the U.S. military, by the Taliban, by the Afghani national forces that involved in deaths of civilians. That traditionally has been viewed as a war crime. So they're looking at the U.S. behavior from 2003 to 2004, is my understanding.
Oh, okay.
When they were first there. There's an allegation, for example, that the Taliban has killed over 17,000 civilians in their time fighting the latest version of a war in Afghanistan.
Now, will this be, at least on paper, a little easier to sort out with it being the Taliban versus some other Islamic organizations that lean more towards terrorism? Because they're a little more defined than, say, an Al-Qaeda.
They're more defined in Afghanistan. And they have specific leaders, often competing leaders. So in that sense, yes, but they're very – secret's the wrong word, but we don't know that much about them, and it's going to be hard to investigate them. I mean, this is going to go on for 5 or 10 years.
Oh, easy.
Considering
it took them 15 years to even start the investigation.
Yeah. And originally when they petitioned to start the investigation a few years ago, they were denied. And what happened 2 or 3 days ago, maybe a little bit more last week, was that decision was overturned and they've got the green light to go ahead and start the investigation. But they are it's a glacial pace at the International Criminal Court. one of our adjuncts in our International Criminal Law and Justice program, Grant Neiman, he prosecuted cases up there for 7 years. He's Australian. He lives in Australia. But he teaches our course on the International Criminal Court, and the Special Tribunals is the name of the course. And, I've talked to him frequently about it, and it's a things do not happen fast at the International Criminal Court. They're very deliberate in what they do.
Now, what do you see as going forward with this? I mean, obviously, this is going to take a long time. I mean, are they going to put feet on the ground, basically, to start looking at things?
I think so. I think, the interesting thing to me about it is over 5 or 10 years, if the International Criminal Court can do this in a responsible way and a neutral and balanced way, so it doesn't look like just a political attack by the international community on the U.S. They're looking at the Taliban. They're looking into Afghani forces as well as U.S. military. They could begin to melt the chill or warm up the chill that exists in terms of the U.S. participating in this fashion in the international community.
I'm guessing enhanced interrogation techniques and things like that are going to be pretty prevalent.
Yep, very much so. And it'll be interesting to see to what degree the U.S. government decides to cooperate.
Yeah, totally. I mean, especially with us not being a part of this organization.
They don't have much power to force cooperation.
Yeah. And it's the military and the CIA. Like, they're not going to want to play nice with this investigation at all.
Well, you know, and one example, just an interesting example, military member Gallagher is his last name. I can't remember his first name. I don't know whether he was a lieutenant or a captain. But he just retired from the military after he was convicted of one crime by the military justice system, and President Trump pardoned him. And you know, the crimes he was alleged to have committed were pretty outrageous. You know, he's holding up the head of a dead civilian mm-hmm. or a dead soldier. I'm not sure which it was, you know, he's a perfect example of the kind of person they're going to go after. The military, the mainstream military, hates him in the sense that he has given them such a bad name. And they, what my understanding is, a lot of higher ups in the military, in the Army, Navy, and Marines, et cetera, are really angry at the president for pardoning him and overriding the military's effort to discipline their own. You know, the ICC tends generally to step in if the country in which the events occurred is not prosecuting the person.
Mm-hmm. So it might give certain parties an out of still getting mm-hmm. this person, like, or not necessarily just him, just other people that may be, because I mean, it's really frowned upon what happened mm-hmm. post 9/11. I mean, the war on terror really left a bitter taste in a lot of Americans' mouths.
Yeah, because it was. Well, there's a lot of reasons it left a bitter taste, but it was a difficult time for our military, and too many people were signaling, it's terrorism, so we get to do whatever we want. And that never leads to, you know, because it's so bad, we get to do everything we want. There are no rules. That instinct and that use of power is corrupting. It's always corrupting. You know, history tells us that so many times over, and we continue to do it. It's different because it's terrorism. That expression and that feeling has caused a lot of death and destruction.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. See you next Thursday. Earn your JD from UNH Franklin Pierce School of Law and join the powerhouse in legal education. Now accepting applications. A top 100 law school ranked 5th for intellectual property law. Apply today at law.unh.edu.